From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. More than 30 years ago, Las Vegas TV reporter just did what reporters are supposed to do. Someone came to the office claiming to have evidence of a government cover-up. Knapp took a look, and he began his investigation. And it led to the first news story about a place about 90 miles northwest of Las Vegas called Area 51. And that was at a time that the government didn't admit there was such a place. Even after Knapp did stories on it, they still said it never existed. Then, when the Berlin Wall fell, Knapp flew to Russia and, with help from a government insider, got access to that government's UFO files. Since then, he's investigated sightings he knew long before the New York Times did in 2017 of the so-called Tic Tac video of UFOs captured by U.S. naval pilots off the coast of California. And if people didn't know about him before, they might now, because last month, Netflix released a 6-part series, Investigation Alien, that follows Knapp in his search, and he's with us now. George, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Always great to see you.
It's great to see you, too. And if, George, you're really well known for your investigations into this phenomenon, so many different phenomenon. Why did you do this TV show?
Basically, it boiled down to the size of the platform. They talked to me for a while before I agreed to do it, and it was the primary argument they used. Look, we have 280 million subscribers. The series is beamed into 190 countries. One of the things that took so long to get the whole thing done is it has to be translated into 124 languages. So this was an opportunity to basically reach the largest audience that I would ever have, an opportunity to speak to, in essence. And it was a chance, I thought, to bring people up to speed on where we are with this mystery, to establish some fundamentals that it is a legitimate mystery. We don't know where these things are from or who's flying them. And it worked, I think. Just based on the response, I think it worked.
You know, people watch series on Netflix, at least I do. You see somebody on TV that's in 190 million people or however many it is, that you become a millionaire now.
Yeah.
Did you get millions to do this?
No, I did not. No, it was a very modest compensation, especially
like
given—
More than 100,000.
No. Not even close.
Wow.
It was modest in that sense, but it still was worth it in my mind to be able to reach that many people. You know, and they pitched it that way. I did not have editorial control. I didn't make the final edits. I didn't always decide whose interview would stay in or not. In fact, there were a lot of interviews we did that were really good that we didn't use. So I'm kind of hoping there's a second season, but I tell you, this one wore me out. I mean, we were shooting for 14 months. There's a lot of planning on both sides of that 14 months, so it was almost 2 years to put it together.
This was right after you wrote a book as well, and you're still at KLAS-TV, Channel 8, here in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm working at Channel 8. I put a lot of stories together, for example, last month in November, and I have a podcast with Jeremy Corbell called Weaponized to do the radio show for Coast to Coast on the weekends, put out a book, and then doing this. It stretched me pretty thin for a while.
Maxine from Las Vegas sent us an email before the show. It says Elon Musk, who is now some kind of efficiency czar for the incoming president, says he doesn't think UFOs are extraterrestrial. He thinks they're our craft. What do you think?
Well, like our government, I think what Elon says about UFOs in public is not quite the same as what he might say in private. I'll tell you this. There are a lot of people around the incoming president-elect who are devoted and have said they were very interested and committed to UFO transparency. When we get in there, we want to tell what we can to the public and let everyone know what's going on. And I've heard those promises before from several other presidential candidates and presidents-elect, and no one has ever kept that promise. But I would not be surprised that it happens here to some degree. And I think Elon might be a big reason. I think he and some of the other tech bros who are now going to have a foothold in the Trump administration are interested in the technology. They don't want to say it, but they've learned that we do have some stuff stashed away. It's been in these defense contractors, mostly aerospace companies, for the past 50, 60 years. And I think they'd like to take a crack at it. I think you guys have had it. You haven't figured it out yet. We haven't built anti-gravity platforms. Let us take a run at it. And I think that is the basis of his argument that there's nothing much to it.
If you're just joining us, again, George Knapp from KLAS-TV is with us. He's also the host of a new program, Investigation Alien, that's on Netflix. It's a 6-part series, and it's very interesting. And George, what was the most astounding thing that came out of that 6-part series to you?
We had a we have to send a crew out on a boat into the Pacific Ocean off the Southern California coast. And their primary goal was to look at what's on the sea floor. We hired this underwater archaeologist named Rory Kremer, who has been at this a long time, knows the ocean, knows archaeology. He took this team out to see if there's something on the bottom of the floor that might explain why there are UFOs and USOs that have been seen there for decades in great numbers. And he did that. But at night, they had these cameras on the bow of the boat and a production team with them, and this object showed up. And it basically put on a performance for them. They're watching it way out in the distance, and then it came up within a couple of hundred yards of the boat. And it just hung there, and then, boom, it shot back and suddenly was 10 miles away in a fraction of a second. They turned around, were talking about it excitedly on the camera, and then it showed up again over their shoulder. They're all excited about it. They got it recorded. It's been a long day. The crew goes down below and goes to sleep, but the cameras up top keep rolling. This thing came back. It dropped from way up in the sky down into camera range. You could see the boat sort of rocket a little bit. And then it teasingly went right below, right above the ocean level and went into the water. Now, I've heard stories about USO and transmedium videos that are in possession of the U.S. government. I've never seen one before, and we got one. And it was astonishing.
It is. If you see the series, I saw that part is very odd. There's another video in there that you had actually released earlier, I think before the show, but it was kind of astounding. And it shows this thing they call a jellyfish. It seems like it's invisible to the eye. It's in the Middle East, and it's hovering or sort of floating over a military base. And then you describe it as floating over a three-lettered agency base that's within the military base. I'm guessing that's the NSA or the CIA. And it's at night. The thing looks invisible. People aren't looking up at it, but there's a camera that's following it all the way. I thought, well, this thing, there's a video, and then somebody must have superimposed this, and it's like a Photoshop thing. But did you have it tested?
Oh, yeah. We've had that. Jeremy Corbell and I have had that video for a couple of years. We've tried to get it verified. We've tried to make sure, tracking down the sources of information to make sure that they're not scam artists, that they really were there. That base is a military base in the Middle East, right next to a large body of water. And inside the base was another base, a CIA facility. So it's highly classified. It's a highly sensitive area. This thing comes floating in, and an aerostat has this big spy platform, security platform is following it, and you can only see it in IR, as far as we know.
Infrared.
And it floats through the base. You can see people on camera who don't look up at it. They can't see it. It's nighttime, and it's completely silent. We don't know how it was propelled. It doesn't make any real sudden moves on camera there, but these tentacles hanging down, it reminded us of a jellyfish or like an octopus. Very strange. If you do a close-up of that thing, it's rotating. A lot of people have said that's a smudge on the lens. It isn't. It's some other bird poop or something like that. It's not. It's a balloon. It isn't a balloon. And you can see it rotating like that. It goes across the base, and then it goes over this body of water that's right next to the base. And according to the people that we talked to, there is an extended video that was seized that shows this thing go into the water.
Seized by who?
The base commander came in, seized this stuff, took it off this classified server, and spirited away, we think, to the CIA.
Okay.
But this thing goes into the water. The camera stays on it for 17 minutes, and then it pops out and goes straight up into the sky at a tremendous speed. That part of the video has never been made public, but we do know it exists. And I've shown this video to a number of the best image analysts, people who worked on these kind of programs, analyzing UFO videos for our government and intelligence agencies, and they don't know what it is. They don't know. It's the weirdest, creepiest UFO video I've ever seen. And during the production of this Netflix series, it was finally released. We released it on our podcast, and you see it sort of documented in real time there.
So since that series came out, I wonder what for a while it was in the top 10 on Netflix. What's been the reaction? I wonder if you have gotten any good tips, if you've gotten bad tips, if you're just getting overwhelmed with tips. What's going on?
absolutely overwhelmed. Now, I've been on some big platforms before, Joe Rogan, for example, and I thought, wow, that was really big. But in the response, you can judge, you know, how much your emails go up. There's nothing quite like this. I can't read it all. I mean, I've never seen a reaction like this. Thousands and thousands of emails every day. I get hundreds more, a lot of them with UFO videos and UFO photos and UFO and alien, I'm using air quotes around alien encounters, fantastic storehouse of information. I don't quite know what to do with it. And texts and tweets and Instagram and phone calls. I've had people show up at the door. The response from people who already know me has been crazy. Suddenly, I'm like a celebrity to people I've known for 20 years.
People you've known are wanting to get photos with you?
Yeah, selfies and stuff, and I'm flattered by it, but you know me. I'm not really comfortable with that. I can't complain too much. That's the profession I've chosen, and I did agree to do this show, but it's overwhelming. The public response is outstanding. Now, I don't know what Netflix is thinking, whether it's enough of a reaction to have another season. I think they're probably still trying to decide that.
You say you have this wealth of information, the storehouse of information. You also had something called the Mystery Wire website. And we got a question here from Dave from Las Vegas who says, why did Georgia's Mystery Wire website with KLAS get suspended for months?
Not really suspended. It's just that they decided that that wasn't the platform or they want to put my stories anymore. You know, 4 years ago, I tried to retire from KLAS, and it didn't work out. Just 2 months of me driving my wife crazy, and Channel 8 had kind of suspected I might get bored by being retired, so they kept my office, kept all my files and things, and they said I can come back and produce stories basically on whatever I want, you know, as long as it meets their standards. So, I've sort of lost my train of thought here, but I didn't retire.
You didn't suspend that?
No, it didn't suspend it, but we had a producer who would put those stories and content on the website who left. He's gone, and he's never been replaced, and I thought I was going to retire. So they basically they keep it intact. People can still access what was there, but they're not adding new content. They'd rather drive, I think, viewers to our KLAS main website instead of that.
And Dave, thank you for that. Dave from Las Vegas, thank you for that question. There's an interesting part of the Netflix series, and I'm just going to read a few sentences here that I've written. You know, in December of 2017, the New York Times came out with that tic-tac video. You'd known about it before that. The pilots, the naval pilots who took that video, testified before Congress saying they have no idea what those objects were. Since then, though, the Pentagon has said there's no evidence to support otherworldly visitors. And this is after they held several hearings in Congress. In fact, in the video, the Netflix series, you're shown at one of these hearings right behind the people who are testifying. And then you hammered them. You hammered some organization called Arrow that gave out that report that, yeah, look, folks, there's nothing to see here. Move on. What is really going on there?
Let me remind your listeners that all of the stuff that's unfolding right now in real time before our eyes started here. Las Vegas was the unofficial UFO investigation capital of the world. Robert Bigelow, got a contract from the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, that's sort of the Pentagon's version of CIA, to conduct this program, and it was the biggest known, acknowledged UFO investigation in the history of the U.S. government. They gave $22 million to the Bigelow organization. They hired 50 full-time investigators, and they went to work. They created the world's largest UFO database. They created more than 100 of these highly detailed technical and engineering papers that were written, and not one page of all that stuff has ever been made public. One of the papers was about the Tic Tac. It had analyzed its capabilities, what kind of propulsion it might have. It is technology, in their view, these experts who work for the military and DIA, that it is not our technology. David Fravor, the naval aviator whom you referred to there, mm-hmm. was the commander of the Black Aces. They're the best fighters. They're the best fighter pilots in the world. And he'd never seen anything like this. He had said, gosh, I wish I could fly one of those things. But that object, Tic Tac, came from 80,000 feet down to ocean level, right above the ocean, in 0.7 seconds. not only would that kill any human or any kind of being, it would create anybody who's inside that would have been a pile of goo. It would destroy the structure of anything that we build. We don't have that technology. It's what Fravor said before Congress. We didn't have it 20 years ago, and we just passed the 20-year anniversary a couple of weeks ago. We didn't have that technology then. We don't have it now. We won't have it for the foreseeable future. We can't do that stuff. It's not us. And our insiders, the people who've worked on these programs, they know it's not us. Now, there are a lot of things in the sky that could be us, meaning us, the U.S., the Russians, the Chinese, but there's, and they say, okay, there's no evidence they're extraterrestrials, which I consider to be sort of a lawyerly weasel word. What would evidence of extraterrestrials be? My suspicion is that these people, these beings, wherever they're from, have been here a long time, maybe longer than us. Maybe they've been here forever. Maybe this is their home. They don't have to build craft out of unobtainium, some unknown element or something. They would use, if they've been here for centuries, they would use Earth materials to do it. You don't have to go to Alpha Centauri to get something to build a steering wheel, is what I think Dr. Gary Nolan said in the Netflix thing. So, you know, this is what got me started down this road in the first place, is that I was ticked off that we were being lied to about it. I know that there's stacks and stacks of documents, that stuff that you were referencing that walked in my door in 1987, things squeezed out of the government, our military, and intelligence community through the use of FOIA. And in years before they knew that FOIA was going to exist, they were very candid with each other behind the scenes. These things are not us. They're from, we don't think they're Russians. They're far beyond anything that we've got. We need to figure this out. And they've never figured it out, as far as I know. And while they're saying that to each other behind closed doors in memos and reports, they're telling the public, nothing to see here. It's nothing to worry about. It's not aliens. Don't worry. And it ticked me off. And it still ticks me off.
As you're saying this, the New York Times 2 days ago just came out with this story. The headline is Unidentified Drones Light Up New Jersey Skies, Baffling Residents. And the story talks about a lot of drones flying over New Jersey. The local law enforcement is very worried about it. Elected and higher government officials say, yeah, don't worry about it. They don't seem dangerous. But wasn't that the premise for some of these congressional meetings, that whatever these things are that are flying, that people are seeing, could be a threat?
Yeah, we're seeing something really extraordinary playing out in real time. This is the most densely populated state in the whole country. And they're seeing these mystery drones, and again, I'm using air quotes around that, every night. It's been going on for almost 2 weeks, and there are dozens of them at any given time. People are recording videos. A lot of the videos that I've seen online are planes or something prosaic and explainable. I think a lot of people are sending their own drones up. I think law enforcement and the military are sending drones up. But some of these things are coming from somewhere else. And we do not know where they're coming from. We don't know where they go to. We can't seem to track them. And I've been told we can't bring them down. Now, there are rules of engagement. You can't just shoot down a drone because you want to find out who's flying it, because it might hit somebody on the ground. But these things have been over our military bases. Langley Air Force Base a year ago this month, was overflown by these things 12 nights in a row. And although they say they're not a threat because they haven't attacked anyone, we don't know what the agenda is because we don't know where they're from or who's flying them. Could they be Chinese? Possibly. Could they be Russian? Possibly. Are they ours? I don't think so, because I don't believe that we would test an classified platforms, programs over a populated area like that and just let the cat out of the bag. It seems to me that whoever's flying these things doesn't mind them being seen. And maybe that's the point. They've got lights on them. So either they're not trying to hide it, or they want to be seen for an effect. What effect that is, guess is as good as mine.
To show that we can do nothing.
Yeah, I think that's true. In the UK, there are three air bases there. Again, restricted airspace. One of those bases is going to receive nuclear weapons from the U.S. in a couple of weeks. Suddenly, these things have been buzzing every night over restricted airspace. I have been told by people associated with their military that they've tried to take them down, that they've used the EMP-type anti-drone technology that did not work. Not the first time I've heard about military using our level of technology, trying to take one down and being completely ineffective. My feeling is our government hopes they're aliens and they're not Russian or Chinese, because imagine how embarrassing that is to say, yeah, we think these are Chinese. They're flying over our base and going back to a ship or a submarine just off the East Coast. People would freak out. I hope somebody's doing a study of how the public reacts to this, because it's unfolding in real time right now.
We also got an email here from Doris, who says, I give you a lot of credit for following this for more than 30 years. I appreciate you've spent all this time and energy into finding the truth. It's really amazing. But that applies to anything, UFOs, coffee, drinking, just about anything, if people put their mind to it. But you're leaving other people to judge. So I wonder, is it hard to deal with that judgment?
Not really. People are welcome to their own opinions. I never claimed that I would be able to figure this out, although I have to admit, in the beginning, I thought, boy, this UFO field is a mess. Give me 6 months, I'll have this figured out and cleaned up. Well, you know, it was 37 years ago, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know the answer. I don't know anyone who does know the answer. There might be somebody inside government or Lockheed or something like that that has a pretty good bead on where some of these things came from. I suspect there's more than one answer, so I don't want to force my view on people who are trying to check this out, because I don't know. I really don't.
There are a lot of skeptics out there.
Sure.
And you hear from them all. But somebody also wrote this, said, if alien craft falls in places without the kind of government that we have, secretive and powerful, do those weaker countries ever get them? Why not, for instance, in the middle of Mongolia, where there's not a lot of government that's going to shield these things?
Well, this is very valuable technology to have, even if you can't figure it out. So there is a race. We are in a race for that technology. And if something falls in Mongolia, the Chinese government is likely to scoop it up. Our government has been in other countries where there are alleged crashes, and we take it away. Anybody who gets military equipment from us, anybody who is an ally, Brazil, for example, there have been pretty good cases of crashes in Brazil. And the witnesses say the U.S. sent people down there, scooped it up, and brought it back here. I think the Russians do the same thing. The late Senator Harry Reid, it was just his birthday a couple days ago, by the way, he had told me through the course of our long conversations that he had, in fact, confirmed that the Russians are working on this, that they've recovered saucers as we have, that the Chinese are doing the same thing, that maybe the Israelis are as well. There is a race for the technology. Whoever cracks it first wins, period.
Wins what?
Everything. I mean, we had a tic-tac. We wouldn't need to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on B-21s or F-35s or F-22s. Maybe that's the reason for the cover-up, is because we haven't needed it. If we ever cracked that technology, we wouldn't have to build all these other platforms. You couldn't defeat it. It would be the most supreme power in the earth, and you wouldn't need to drop nuclear weapons to enforce your will or defend the law or the Constitution or our borders. It would be incredible.
It seemed like, again, going back to that Netflix series, that you were indirectly asking people to come forward, and you said you've gotten thousands of emails. Did you get anything useful that you are following up on? Anything from government officials? Anybody that you hadn't known about coming forward and saying, look, I've been working on this stuff, and I want to tell you about it?
Yeah, I have several people like that. You know, I've been flooded with UFO videos, UFO photos, UFO stories, alien counter stories, people, in addition to people saying, look, I worked on this stuff and I'm willing to share some information with you. I have to be careful with that. I don't have a security clearance. I don't want to receive classified materials. It's illegal for me to have it. So sometimes you have to resist the urge to say, yeah, let me see all your classified UFO stuff, because I could go to prison for it. And it would not be beyond some of these intelligence agencies to play that kind of a trick and take me out, basically, legally.
So what do you do?
I'm going to share those communications with other people a lot smarter than I am, who do have security clearances, who can give me some opinions on how to proceed.
You've been a reporter for a long time, and this has been something you have followed, again, almost four decades. Do you think you're going to get an answer before, God forbid, you're not here any longer?
I do not. And I've sort of come to grips with that. And I'm okay with it, because the journey's been worth it. You know, I've learned so much that I never would have studied. I'm not reading books about quantum physics and things if I hadn't gone down this road, although I find that stuff interesting. I've met so many interesting people and learned so much about how the government works, how national security matters work, how these different agencies have their tentacles and all sorts of things, including media. So I'm comfortable with the idea that I probably won't know the answer, But the journey's been worth it for me. And I'm not sure anybody's ever going to know it.
Speaking of tentacles and the media, I did get this question from a friend of mine before the show. You know, we've had you on many times before. And I've had somebody ask me, are you merely a reporter who has the finger on the pulse of this phenomenon for years? Or maybe you're more than that. Do you have any of your own security clearances? Do you have any intelligence agencies that have ever hired or tried to hire you?
I love that question. And, you know, I hate to destroy the myth, but no, I'm not working for any agency. I have been asked twice to get a security clearance. And it was very tempting because if I had got it, if I'd gone through it, I would have had access to a lot of other information, but I could never report it. You know, I always figure whatever information I get, even though I'm not allowed to share it, someday I'm going to share it. And I'm confident that I'll find a way to get it out to the public. But even the piles of information that I have that I cannot report on, it allows me to know the playing field. It allows me to know who's full of crap out there, what claims are being made by other people that are nonsense. So, no, I do not work for a government agency. I know a heck of a lot of people who are in that world, intelligence and defense, and I've met them because of this. They're honorable and straightforward, and they're just as curious about this as I am.
George Knapp has a new Netflix series called Investigation Alien. It's a 6-part series. George, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.